Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If I had to give a scorecard, I'd probably go 3-2 champion, though. Very close score.
It's open to interpretation, right?
Yep.
Well, like I said, that Olympic gold medal doesn't count for shit in the octagon. He stopped a lot of my takedowns, but persistence is going to keep on shining, and that's what we did.
Oh, John Mulaney, the best coach!
But hey, with a dream and hard work, you can go all the way to the top.
Temba, the answer, Garimba!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. If my audio is a little off today, I apologize. I'll just do this whenever I think my audio is off. I want to start ringing that a little bit. I'm in Los Angeles on a computer. I can't believe how good the background looks. It's really improved a lot. Anyway, we have a good show. It looks like, did I just close the...
What?
No, I was wondering if I closed the prep sheet. I need two monitors, Matt. We have Temba Garimbo, who had a beautiful first round KO of Pete Rodriguez, and of course, Aljamain Sterling fighting Calvin Kattar, which is not an easy fight. I really respect Aljo for taking a fucking an animal like Calvin Kattar. It's just good for him.
Listen, man, you're going in the pool. You got to jump in that deep end. Yeah. You dip your little toes and say, "Is it cold?" No. No, cannonball, motherfucker. Sorry, Jimmy, that was weird. Listen to me. My point, Jimmy.
Well, I understand.
Listen to me. I had a great weekend. And just like Themba. Themba's coming. You pronounce it Themba, right?
Temba Garimbo, yeah.
Yeah, Themba, man. What, Jude? That guy.
Beautiful.
Listen, sometimes you want to show your array of skills. Other times you want to just end the night in 36 seconds. So I can't wait to talk to him, man. He's got to be on top of the world. But also, by the way, Molly McCann, props to her.
Yeah.
Because she was on here and she just, it reminds me of that song when somebody's got something about them. A glow.
I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Not a bad song, man. I maybe want to sing it. But no.
Take On Me by A-ha.
Close. That black and white video might amp you up, but my point
like
is when you got that glow. Anyway, listen, that's from The Last Dragon. But Molly McCann, she was in the zone when she was on here. And I'll tell you, they say jiu-jitsu is the gentle art. There's a reason why you want to get mounted on somebody. She got mounted and she started laying down nasty strikes. Pat Smith elbows from Mount. That's an old school reference nobody will get. That was from UFC number 2. But anyway, poor Scott Morris. We never seen him again. He was a ninja. He disappeared into that shit. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, he had a fucking smoke bomb on him then. Anyway, boo. Listen, anyway, she was so impressive. And the way that she took that arm lock with 8 seconds left, and it was one of those, she didn't get a chance to tap. It was just, ah! Her hips going up and taking that arm off, yeah. Jim. Yeah, thumbs up to the arm bar.
I'm also, I think whatever our guest is the way you want, just do this.
Jimmy, you sound like a spoiled rich.
You like that?
No, you're like trying to get like your servants.
I can't stop ringing it. I love the bell. Let's bring in Aljamain.
Aljo, the great former champion of the world, many times over. Does he hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I gave you so many compliments in the opening thing, and you did not hear us.
No. No.
Aljo, no. I'm praying to hear your song today. You know, these girls just want to have fun. I want to hear that so bad that I know we have other things to talk about, like you fighting Calvin Kattar, which is Jimmy's going, man, he's going right at the deep end. I go, Jimmy, right in the deep end.
Yeah.
I really want to hear your rap song. I really do. We don't have to do that. We could get it towards the end, but please, I need to. I miss you, buddy.
I miss you, man. I would have to cue that up.
Please do. And what else is up, dude? Besides your fucking hair.
How you feeling, Aljo?
Are you going to cut that? What's that?
I was asking Aljo how he's feeling.
I mean, I'm feeling good. I just had a really good day today. I'm actually looking for the song right now.
And I like on your Instagram, you're doing pull-ups with weights attached to your body. Like, fucking, doesn't it feel cool that you get the fucking, because you're not, I mean, you strangle fucking heavyweights. Like, you know what I mean? You, when you, with the grappling realm, I mean, anywhere you could hang with them, but isn't it, in other words, doesn't it feel better? You don't have to fucking just become Gollum from fucking Lord of the Rings. You could beef up, stay, get strong, bro. Just strangle people and develop that strength.
It kills me, man. It was such a big part of the fight camp. You would essentially got to look at it like it's a 10 to 12 week process to get the weight down. So I would have to start my descent down and start changing my body every single time. So I'm just excited to see what I could do at a higher weight class. When I feel more like myself, I mean, I feel like the stuff I do in the room, I can't do it in the cage because I'm just too depleted. And I think this is going to be fun because one is going back to three rounds. Two, I'm going to be a lot stronger, and I think I'm going to be more of myself at 45, and I'm excited to see what I could do and show the world and see if I could give myself some fresh life at this weight class and show if I could still become a world champion in another weight class.
It's interesting, too, because like whenever somebody goes up in weight, like for a lot of guys, it's cutting is such a nightmare. Like when you look at John Jones, he had to like, and it's much different going to heavyweight, but I mean, he had to spend a long time packing on muscle. Do you feel like you need to do that? Or is it just a matter of, I have a much easier cut this time?
Nah, I don't need to. John Jones is John Jones, but if I'm being 100% honest, I still feel that was a little bit longer than needed. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not a physicists in any type of way and assessing bodies and body mass, but he could put the weight on. It's just whether or not he felt mentally comfortable that he could compete, or if he just needed more time to feel like he could compete. I don't know. I feel like 3 years is a long time to kind of take away from your prime years of your career. Right. But with that said, I know I'm not John Jones. I know I don't have 3 years to wait and try to fill out as much as I can. And then I have the same problem all over again. Nah, I think the problem is that I was just overcutting for way too long. And especially when I started to see the scales in the offseason hit 170, 175, I think that was a sign in the writing on the wall that my days at 35 are numbered. And I even said it before the O'Malley fight, like this was going to more than likely be my last fight, unless I was going to get the rematch afterwards in hindsight, you know, that would have been the only reason I would have attempted to cut back down. I have no desire to do that to my body ever again. So it is what it is. And I don't think I need to get bigger. I'm relatively the same size weight wise as any of these other featherweights. I see some of these other guys, even Topuria. I just saw him earlier last week and he saw me. He was like, He says grande. He's calling me big. I'm like, well, you're cutting down right now, so I'm pretty sure we're relatively similar. But standing next to him, I was definitely the bigger guy. Yeah, so I don't know. I think this could be a good thing. We'll see. At the end of the day, you still got to fight. You still got to put hands on people, and I still got to get to what I'm good at, and hopefully it's enough to continue to do what I've been doing at 35 and do it at 45 as well.
Jimmy,
yes,
nobody I could think of, nobody comes to mind who handled, like, I don't want to say, not that he took it lightly, but the way you handled yourself, Aljo, after the loss to O'Malley was just something to be admired, bro. I mean, you didn't let it slow you down a fucking second. You're taking grappling matches all over the world. That way, you're staying, like, semi-active. You're strangling people. You're doing your thing. You're staying busy. And you're fucking seeing the world. You're traveling. You're making some money. You're keeping your name out there. I'm telling you, man, it was really fucking awesome the way you handled it. Because you don't know how somebody's going to handle that until they go through it, you know? So, bravo, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun just having that downtime. And I made sure I asked Hunter when I was in his office, like, if I do this fight for you guys, because it was a crazy turnaround. I think anyone who's a fight fan that's follows the sport, they understand what that turnaround is, especially for a guy who cuts as much weight as I do. I mean, I go through cycles where after a fight, within 3-4 days, I'm 180 something pounds. That's not normal. So for my body to get back to a homeostasis and settle around 170 so I could start my weight cut again, it was just crazy. But I asked him, I was like, you give me your word that I could go on vacation and actually hang out and enjoy my time and the fruits of my labor. And he said yes. And afterwards, as soon as the fight was over, man, we were planning our vacation, and it was what it was. It's like, I can't go back in time and correct the mistake. I made the mistake. I made the choice, whether it was rushed or not. The better guy that night ended up winning. So it's just one of those things. Like, I've been here before. And I think it's more so what you do with it versus than anything else. Like, you can let it beat you down and control and dictate the rest of your life, or you can use that to funnel you and fuel you into your next adventure. And that's what I did. Got to travel the world, make some good money, compete in probably sports that are a lot easier on the body. I'm not getting punched in the head or anything like that, or risking that. So in that regards, I think I've been able to enjoy my downtime, and just doing that alone was making me miss competing in MMA. And I think that's what's the most exciting part. Like, I'm excited to be back, and I really can't wait to go out there and show the world what I could do at 145 and against a super badass dude in Calvin Kattar.
That's, you know, it's funny you said that too, because like, how you're going to get good fights because you're Aljamain. So, you know, you're going to get like really solid fighters. How exciting is it to go into like a new division with, you know, fucking murderers like Volkanovski, Holloway, Rodriguez? Like, there's so many good fighters that you've never faced. It's like, whereas before in the bantamweight division, you had faced and beaten, with the exception of your friend, obviously, you had beaten everyone you needed to beat. How exciting is it to have all of these new names and like, there's going to be no shitty fights. Everyone they offer you is going to be a really interesting fight.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to look at it like that. Just going from, man, there was a point where I beat three top five guys and they were trying not to give me the title shot, you know, after I finished Sandhagen in like a minute and a half. And thankfully it worked out where I got the title shot. Yeah, it was a shitty title showing, but I redeemed myself and I got to beat a couple more good guys, legendary guys in the sport. And now to start almost from scratch, that's essentially what it is. Like, I have no history in this division outside of when I was an amateur. And I think I did one pro fight at 145, and that was years ago. That was like 2011. So here we are now. There's a lot of big names. There's a lot of fun names. And I think myself coming up to division just makes things a little bit more fun and more competitive. And I think it adds more value to the division. And if I can win this one, I think it makes it that much more exciting, you know? So it's up to me to go out there and do my job. And none of these guys are going to be pushovers. I mean, you got Evloev who, I mean, yeah, he might not have any finishes, but he's a tough out for anybody. He's a hard puzzle to finish. and to figure out how to stop him, how to beat him, even if it's by decision. Arnold Allen, Sadiq Youssef, Edson Barbosa, who's having somewhat of a career resurgence, one of the most devastating kickers in the entire UFC. So there's a lot of good guys. Max, the best is blessed, you know. So there's a lot of good names, guys I've been watching and never thought I would be competing against them. And now I'm like, I got to shift my mindset and recognize, like, hey, man, I'm going to be competing against the T-Cities, the Yair Rodriguez's, the Josh Emmett's, and it's up to me to really make sure I'm mentally fit for this. Because 10 pounds is a big difference going up or down. They're going to be more than likely harder hitters. I'm probably going to be the faster guy. And I don't think there's any of the guys who wrestle the way that I do. Even Levlev, like, he wrestles, but his wrestling is a little bit different than what I'm doing. And it's more like just to control. I'm kind of looking to get submissions and stuff like that. So there's a good dynamic there. And I look forward to just seeing what I could do and how far I could take this thing at 34 years old. And I could be a little bit more active as well, because the weight cut won't be as taxing. It's still going to be hard, but it won't be as taxing coming from 70 to 45 versus 70 to 135. That's just, I just, the thought of that just hurts my bones.
Shit. Yeah. Hey man, how's the, it looks good. The studio, how's the podcast going?
Going well. It's, you know, I do what I can. It's a full-time job. So I got to make sure I'm like, cause I used to do the editing myself. I used to do all the clip outs myself. I used to do my own vlogs, self-recording and editing on Fight Week. That's when I wasn't cutting as much weight. Now I cut so much, I'm like, I have to outsource that. So Jake's been helping me out a ton with that, and he's been pretty good. And with that, it's just having fun with it. I like talking about the fights. You know, same thing you guys like doing, like talking about the fights, breaking them down, recapping them, and just sharing with the world, like, I guess, the stuff that I've learned over the years. And my insight of what I'm watching to kind of help educate the fans a little bit more and give them a little bit more insight.
Isn't it hard to pick fights too? There's so many ways for guys to beat each other. Like, you know, O'Malley caught you, but if you had gotten on his back, that would have ended much different. Like, it's very hard to watch a fight and say, I think this is what's going to happen. I am wrong far more than I'm right. And there's so many guys that are good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you find that? Do you pick fights, and are you any good at it?
I pick fights. I don't like saying them out loud because I see a lot of these guys at the PI. Yeah, sure. Then it gets a little bit awkward, man. Cause
right.
I forget, like, when I came to the UFC and I made my debut, I saw the DCs, the Ronda Rouseys, Sarah McMahon. I saw them and I was like the starstruck athlete. And I'm like, contain yourself, maintain your composure. You're one of them now. Like,
yeah,
be professional. And now these guys, they see me, and I forget that now they're me a couple of years ago when I first came to the sport. I'm almost in the sport 10 years with the UFC.
Oh,
in
shit. In
like 2 weeks, 10 years, a decade. So wow. I kind of grew up and earned all my stripes throughout the UFC. And when I see these guys, I try to be as respectful as I can when I'm picking fights and breaking them down. And some of these guys actually get mad, like, oh, I heard you picked him. I'm just like, yo, bro, give me a break. All I'm trying to do is assess the fight, and I try to make it, like, as fair as I can. He can win this way if he can do this, and he can win this way if he can get to this. And this is what I think is going to happen, but if he could do this, I try to make it as,
yeah,
not, like, I'm on the fence. I'm like Mr. Feeney. I try to be on the fence about it as best as I can.
At the same time, Aljo, I still get it on their part of it as a fighter.
Yeah.
In other words, because when I used to fight, there was a couple of guys I remember from a website, whatever, and I know they picked against me. And I'm just like, all right, you're basically saying this guy's going to kick my ass. Just go fuck yourself. I'd be like, yes, that. So I can't really be, you know. I mean, I got 3 kids now, so fuck it. So I'm going to do it. I got to do what I got to do. But I still get it. And especially when you're fighting because you're cutting weight and you're, and this guy thinks he's going to kick my ass. And I don't know. I understand both sides, but
yeah, it's tough.
There's a way to do it respectfully. There's a way to pick someone and go, look, I just think he's going to be able to impose his game plan. Yeah. It's not like saying, like, well, he sucks, he's going to get his ass beaten. Like, I think there's a way to pick a fight where it's at least showing that you still respect the other guy. You just think that for a matchup. But I guess, but
That's what we hear, though, that we hear. You're going to kick our, this guy's going to kick my ass. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Even if you're saying it as nice as you can, I'm just like, to me, it's just an automatic translate. and it computes and it just spits it back out. Like, I got to kick this ass and shut these motherfuckers up. That's just the way we're wired. If you're not wired like that, then I don't know. You might be in the wrong sport.
Hey, right. Guys, did you see the new trailer for Roadhouse with Conor McGregor and Jake? What, Jimmy?
I know that Roadhouse would seem like that would be my thing. If it's not, no.
Listen, first of all, Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze is, you know, now I'll rip someone's throat out right now. Listen, it's very exciting. But this one has Conor McGregor in it. And everybody's talking about his acting. Did you guys see the trailer?
It's really good. I have not seen it.
Well, in the trailer, it looks like he plays a crazed, like, coked up ex-fighter. Is that really acting? I don't know. It's like if I'm playing a short ball guy, it's a little silly. Yeah. I can't fucking act. It looks like it's well done. He doesn't look like he's flubbing his lines. He looks good. I'm fucking around. Yeah. He looks good. But he does look like he's playing himself because he's like, I'm gonna get you out of your limey. I don't know what he says.
I didn't see the full trailer yet. I just saw some of the clips because I was there at the event when they were filming Jake. I can't say his last name.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. When they were doing the walkout, him, Jay Hiron, and everybody. So that was pretty cool to see that in live time. I haven't seen the full official trailer.
Jay Hiron, it was a very good fighter in the UFC. You know what I mean? Like, he lost the GSP, but he beat guys. He was tough guy.
Yeah.
I think he had a very good fight with Ben Askren.
Yeah.
It might have been a decision. I'm not sure. Because he was a very good wrestler. He was a Long Island kid. So he was a little bit younger than me. So I like that I see him in all these movies and stuff. Because like me and Aljo, we like seeing people make it. Don't we, Aljo? Isn't it nice?
Yeah. He was in Equalizer also. Yes. Equalizer 2.
Yeah. He was in a bunch of things. One time I seen him in like Daredevil or something. I seen him in a bunch of, I'm like, oh, there's Jay. And I like that, man. I like guys that got through to the other side. They use the UFC and MMA as a platform to get to something else. Like, are you ever thinking about doing any more acting? I know you fucked around with it.
I want to. It's so weird, man. I hired this guy and he sent me literally one script.
Worst.
I'm like, I was better off being by myself.
Who's this agent?
What did I hire you for?
All right. And was the script good? What was it? Was it?
I mean, it was just a read to audition. So I did like a self-taping and then they asked for like one other thing. And then I guess after that, they were just like, yeah, we're going in another direction. But
you know how many times I've heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Well, I mean, listen, it's something that does like it does interest you, though. No?
Yeah. I've done some stuff. I've done a pilot. I've done a movie with Rory Karp.
Yeah. That's the director of that show called Dana White Looking for a Fight.
For a Fight. Yes.
That's the director, Rory. Dean Thomas was in that, I heard.
Yep. And with the one eyeball.
What are your nerves like when you do it? Like, because you obviously you have an ability to do something when you're afraid of it or something that's truly dangerous. What are your nerves like when you're acting? Are you able to use the same thing or is it a totally different thing for you?
It's definitely a bit nerve wracking because it's out of your comfort zone and you're kind of like, well, I don't want to fuck this up because I'm the new guy and like, oh, there's a fighter guy coming here who thinks he can act while these guys put in serious time. And we just show up on the set like because we're friends with X, Y, and Z. So it's like, yo, come on, man, at least try. So I want to make sure I'm at least giving it the respect and the effort that it deserves. And like running lines with them and trying to get like notes and some feedback so that I can give it the feel and the vibe that they're looking for. So it's not just, hey man, this was a good movie until this guy showed up. So, you know, I just make sure I try to carry my weight.
And what do you, facing Cater, who's very good with his hands. I mean, you know, he's just a really, really solid fighter. He's coming off 3 out of 4 losses, which I think makes him really dangerous. What are you expecting out of him? And how do you think he's going to prepare for you?
He lost his last. He lost 3 out of 4.
Am I crazy? Hold on. Let me see.
He lost to Arnold Allenwin because of the injury. He fought Giga Chikadze. I know he beat him.
Yeah, he lost to Josh Emmett, beat Giga, and lost to Holloway.
Okay. Oof. That is a tough, that's a killer's row though, man.
Oh, yeah, man. All great fighters. I mean, when you're facing a guy like that, there's a back against the wall feeling that I'm just comes like when you're probably worried about what the future holds.
Yeah, I can see that. I didn't even really look at it from that standpoint. I just knew he had some really tough fights, but I can see that he's probably in his head thinking like this smaller guy is coming up, even though I'm not that small of a guy. We've trained together before when I was an amateur. He might have been a pro at the time. That was in like 2010. And to look where we're both at in our careers is kind of crazy to see how far we've come, two East Coast guys. And I mean, he's a heavy hitter, good boxing, very fundamentally sound. He has his dangers. You know, he's a heavy hitter. We know he's got some big elbows that he likes to throw in there if you get too close, and he'll just let them go. But with that said, I'm one of the harder guys to hit, especially when I'm fighting patient and I'm not rushing and running into stuff. You know, the two fights I've done that in, it did not end well, so to speak. So I think this is going to be a very interesting fight to see who makes the first mistake. And I'm definitely going to pressure him, but I'm not going to be reckless with my attack. And I want to make sure that I get to what I'm looking for. And I think he knows. There's no secret. I'm looking to take your ass down, Calvin. It's not a freaking secret. You know right. what I mean? So it's just whether or not he can stay upright and do enough damage to keep me from shooting again. And it's up to me to see how much damage I could put on him while also looking for my takedowns. And then when I do get him down, can I finish the fight?
When you're fighting, like, and you know a guy is, like, you kind of, you know what he's going to try to do. You know what he's expecting of you. Of all the guys you fought, who is the one that for you was the hardest to figure out what he was going to do? Again, there has to be someone who you're like, I just had no idea.
It would probably be Henry Cejudo, because that 3-year layoff that he had coming back, you didn't know how much better he would be, how much he improved. And then you kind of look at the old tape, which was from 3 years ago, and you try to say, okay, he might be looking at some of these same things that he had success with. He might be the same fighter, or he might be completely different. And I think he came in with some good stuff. And at the same time, I think he was able to make some really good adjustments in the middle of the fight. And that's one of the things I gave him credit for. I just think he's one of the more craftier guys because he's smart and he understands what he's looking at, where in real time you could be doing something and he could be making a shift and a change right in front of you and adjusting to his style and his game plan based on what you're doing. So that was one of the more challenging fights that I've had. And thankfully I won it. I thought I won it a little bit more comfortably than a split, but
I thought so too.
With that said, I thought it was a really technical fight, a really high level fight. And I think it showed a lot of genius in both of us and how much time and detail we put into the sport when we were preparing.
Hey, Aljo, when Marab's coming up with these bits on his Instagram, is that 100% him or is that Jake or is that 100% him? Cause it's fucking
that's him.
He's I'll tell you, he always loved. The social media, the camera. He's always got a camera. And normally you would think, and Aljo, you might agree with this, if you have a buddy in the crew that does that, you might think it's annoying. But for some reason, it was never annoying with Marab. Never. He's always loving the camera. So back in the day when you and him did that thing with the cookies and I love that bit. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then I think we're bad. Then your wife took them and ran with them and my cookies. I love it. I love that bit. I love that. But now, that was you. So now Marab, he's coming up with this thing. Jimmy, did you see Marab do his logic of how that's going to work out with the title picture?
I did not.
It's hilarious.
On his Instagram, producer, why don't you play that for us really quick? I like to put Jake on the RJ guy. The Mighty Ginger.
Yeah, right now, Jake's on Pornhub, and he's thinking like,
Right now, he's probably like, come on, man. Wipe yourself down.
Yeah.
This thing on.
Left-handed, yeah.
Did you watch the fights the other day, Aljo?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, man, Renato Moicano versus Drew Dober. I thought Drew was going to get him. And not for nothing, he did land some good shots. But, man, the way I enjoyed his takedowns, and I love the way he blended in the takedowns and his jiu-jitsu dominance, his control of, and I was talking about that today in class when I was teaching earlier, when guys are passing the guard, man, when guys go to get up, a failed get up is almost as tiring as a failed takedown. It's fucking exhausting. You go to get up and a guy runs you down. That's fucking tiring. All right, yeah. Now what? No, it's not on Aljo's, you silly fucking goose. On Marab's.
Yeah. See, I was right. That was what he was watching.
He's watching Pornhub.
Kind of half listening, yeah. He can't type with his right hand. He's got oil on it.
But yeah, when guy goes to get up, I love the way when Drew would go to get up and he was almost up, he would not have it. Hinata would just run him down, put himself right. Whether he ended up in half guard, full guard, whatever, usually half guard, he would just run him down and then get back into control and passing. Drew Dober, props to his jiu-jitsu coach. He was being very good defensively. He was making sure he was taking away in half guard the shoulder pressure of Hinata.
Of Hinata, but yeah.
He wasn't doing enough to really bridge and get that elbow to get it on the hook and get to the hip to get out. Go to, yeah. Where is the fucking thing on the...
Was it a story or post or a reel?
It was a reel.
It was okay. A reel.
It's right there. It's right there. It's right there.
Wait, he sees it.
It's the one with the heads right there. The second row.
Go down. Yes. Yep. Press down. Yeah. Watch this, guys. Jimmy, you're going to like this.
I'm back with breaking news, everybody. So we know the champ Sean O'Malley called out number 6 guy Chito to avenge his loss. Of course, Chito Vera will beat skinny guy again and he will become UFC new champ. Already, Chito Vera called out number 4 Corey Sanhagen to avenge his loss. I wanna kick Corey Sanhagen. Of course, Corey will beat Chito again and he will become UFC new champ. And Corey will call out number 5 Peter to get his loss back. Peter will win against Corey again. And Peter will call number 2 this handsome guy. And of course, this handsome guy will beat Peter again. And then here comes the news. I will avenge my loss and call out number 885 Frankie Science out of the retirement. What the fuck is going on, guys? And hey, Henry Cejudo, what are you talking about me? Don't think I forget about you.
I'm about to retire Aljamain Sterling's butt plug. His name is not Marab, it's Marat.
Brain damage. We have a result from hospital. Henry Cejudo has a longer tongue than himself. But no worries. Dr. Marab will fix this problem on February 17th. See you there, Henry. I'm coming for you.
Ah! All right. There's some sound.
Great editing. Great production work.
Yeah. You know, it was great. There was some sound effects there, like, when he was doing those punches. Some of it didn't come through in the audio. Yeah. But just to think that up was really, I'll tell you, it's witty. These guys, they should do a sitcom eventually or something, or a reality show. I don't know. They're good together, Aljo and Marab. They're funny. But what else? What else we got, Jimmy, for the
break? What do you think? Marab's path, I mean, it was funny, but he's not crazy to think that's what these guys are going to want to do. What do you think he's going to have to do? Because he does deserve the shot. What do you think Marab has to do? What do you think his path is, Aljo?
I mean, honestly, I don't think it's any clearer than just beating Henry. But I think if he could beat Henry and get a finish, I think that even makes it that much more of a lock for him to get the shot. You just don't know what's going to happen. And then you got Sanhagen. I don't know who he's fighting. And then you have Umar, who allegedly has a fight now. Nobody knows who that guy is. And then you have Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong. So the highest ranked fight is Marab and Henry Cejudo in his history with him and Chito. Him and Henry, I guess. And maybe him and O'Malley, too, with the whole jacket thing. So if Sean wins, it should be a no-brainer. If Chito wins, Cheeto's going to call out Sanhagen, which is just super weird because he 45'd and zeroed him. It was a split decision, but come on, that was not no split decision. That was not a split. I don't know. It's a good fight. I just hope Marab gets the job done. I think he will, and I think he's going to shine. And I think I softened up Henry enough for him where now – he can go out there and put on the finishing touches.
Shit, yeah man. Henry almost sounds like he's got a foot out the door. And when you sound like that, you know, let's give him a reason to leave. You know what I mean? I'm on Team Marab. What am I going to do?
Let's give him a hard exit.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Funkmaster, listen, man, what do you want to plug, bro?
Yeah. podcast?
Anything to plug? Just one of my drink companies, Nerd Focus. You guys could buy some of that on Amazon.com or NerdFocus.com. We do have it here in Las Vegas in some of the stores. And Funk Harbor Rum coming soon. And I'm going to have a new walkout song for UFC 300. We're working on it right now, and it should be fire.
All right.
Play us out like 20 seconds maybe of "These Girls Just Want to Have Fun." Go ahead. Put it on the thing. Don't you have it right there? Don't you have your list?
Well, I sent it to Nabil. Nabil.
Oh, guys. All right. You know what we'll do? Maybe we'll play it leading out. Oh, we have it now?
Hey. Escúchame. I've been all around the world, and I can tell you for certain, this place right here is so crazy, my friend.
Crazy. Just try not to go dumb, okay? Dimelo, talk to me, mommy. Talk to me nice, somebody pour me a shot. Now everybody out here lit. Tech with yourself, tech with yourself. Trying to fit in like a square in a round peg. Hard cold like a winner out of Winnipeg. It's going down like a Long Beach sunset. It's going down, these are nights that you won't forget. Know I put this shit together, I'm the architect. Crew accustomed to the life like a true vet. Get behind it, introduce it to the backpack. Cause she get the wood wet, looking like a pool deck. See, with me there's no issue. Benaki, mommy, she ready to go. Take off, no migos. Hands on her culo as soon as we walk through that door. Turn up the beat, es stupido. Turn up the vibe, go dumb. La música está loco. These girls just wanna have fun. Turn up the beat, es stupido. Turn up the vibe, go dumb. La música está loco.
Alright, fuck yeah,
alright,
listen.
Awesome.
Hey, I enjoy it. I need that. I need that in my life. Aljo,
really good, man.
Balance.
Thank you.
All right, and violence being one of them. I can't wait to see you versus Calvin Cater, dude.
Yeah, great fight.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. I'm gonna catch up soon, brother.
Talk to you soon, buddy.
Peace.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I didn't know he had a new song. It's really good.
Well, listen, these girls just want to have fun. Sorry, that's a verse. Jimmy, let me tell you really quick about my weekend before our next guest.
Is he in the room or no? I don't think he's in the room yet.
That's why I'm fucking not yet. Yeah. You want me to talk? That way we can end on time?
I would like that.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't mean that to come out wrong. Jimmy. Yes, sir. I'm sorry for raising my voice.
That's okay. I didn't even notice it, actually.
Okay, I'm fucking around. Listen, so anyway, yes, over the weekend, I had young Tommy, young 23-year-old kid that trains with me. He's Tommy DeGennaro, wrestling kid. He had his third fight. He won by rear naked choke.
Nice.
Cleanest rear naked choke you ever seen. He had a big, tall, lanky, crafty dude that was looking to pepper him from the outside, but he closed the distance, smashed him up against the cage, got him down, and controlled him. The guy was wiry, but ended up getting his back and strangling him in the first round. So you can't do better than that. And nice. My wife, Aunt Sarah, at 40 years old, in front of her children, her family, Sarah BJJ, and all of her friends here in Long Island, at the Westbury Space Theater, at Lou Neglia's show, Combat at the Space. She had a listen, it's not normal, really. It's not a normal thing where I told her, you don't look on Facebook and you don't see people you used to know at 40 years old, guys or girls, fighting at 40 years old. That's not really common, you know? So for my wife, who never did a school sport, here you go. This is how the fight, hold on, don't press it. This is how the fight started. And the girl is from, she's from Virginia. They flew her in and she was a purple belt. She was supposed to fight another girl from a local MMA school in Long Island. But that girl, something happened with her. She got hurt her rib. So like within a couple of weeks, we got this girl. And this girl was, she's a professor at, Virginia Tech or something like that. And she's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. My wife's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Neither of them had an MMA match before, so it's their first. And, you know, my wife had three kickboxing matches. So
and your wife is on the right in this, right? In the
Wife has got her back up into the cage. Now, This is that girl tried to – my thoughts are this girl, being that she's a purple belt, thought she would rush her, get her down, and have her away with her. My wife's very well-rounded. And she was very well prepared for this. So It's very – look how the fight started. The girl rushed her. Watch this. That leg work. Look at the work. That's the first
opening. Really nice. Yeah, she's got great fast hands.
Oh, dude. The opening first. Look at right. Watch. Press it again really quick. The beginning. Watch. Listen. Look at that. Right down the pipe. Three. Right down the pipe. Look at that. Beautiful kick. Oh, dude. No. And as it went on, that's good enough. Thank you. As it went on. Now, the girl was tough, but that's the way it opened. And she has footwork. Her footwork. I mean, Jimmy, I'm going to send you the whole fight. It was awesome. I'm just saying it was awesome. Rolongo was like, dude, I don't believe I was watching what I was watching.
Right.
I want to give a lot of credit to her coach, Carol Colombo, who's literally was her only striking coach. You know what I mean? And you know, she's a pupil of Longo. She's the striking coach at Sarah BJJ. And, you know, there's always these unsung heroes where, especially if you see me in a corner, and yes, I work with her a ton, but, you know, I'm not teaching her that footwork. I don't have that footwork. You know what I mean? I'm fuck. You know, so she puts the time in. Her coach is phenomenal. And, you know, I just thought it was, I'm telling you, Jimmy, she got the show over the course of three rounds. That by the third round, it was she did the smash pass. I taught that this morning. She got on top of the girl. The girl's a purple belt. She got past her guard. You know, the girl swept her, but she did not, just like Hinato Moicano. My wife did not let her get on top. So if you get swept and then you allow it and stay on bottom in class, that's not a big deal. All right, I work my guard. But if you get used to that in a fight, now that guy's on top and that could end the fight with the punches.
Yeah.
So you should, at worst case scenario, like in a tournament, if you go to get swept and you both get up, all right, no points, but the guy has an advantage. Advantage is great, but who gives a fuck in the big scheme of things? But you don't want somebody getting on top. So at one point, my wife almost got swept. She got swept. And then the girl went to get on top. My wife, boom, got up technically, beat her to the feet, and then got up and just reset, went back to a jab and whatnot. So she really, smiling throughout, nerves of steel, and I couldn't be more proud. Such a display. She did. She showed an array of skills, from snap downs to looking to take the back, hammer fists, the striking, the footwork, and jiu-jitsu, passing the guard. I mean, dude, she's only doing one. She's done with it. She wanted
to feel it.
She wanted to have this is a bucket list thing. And I'm telling you, what an example for my girls. And it's such a, listen, you know me, Jimmy, I'm very level-headed and kind of relaxed in the corner with everybody, no matter what's at stake. But with this, because I knew she was only doing one, and it's not that she can't do more, but she trained like a pro for this. So the body, it takes a beating, you know? Yeah. And, you know, in this game, I've had the best days and the worst days in there. So when it's great, it's great. When it's bad, you could be on the other end of a Molly McCann arm lock, and next thing you know, your arm's in half and you're screaming and you're at the... So, you know, people are getting poked in the eyes. It's a rough game. So for my wife to go in there, and dude, she's unscathed, and she was in there throwing. That girl Valerie that she fought, props to her. But listen, know what's funny, Jimmy? We were at the weigh-ins, right, at Longo's. It was at Laura MMA, the weigh-ins. So I was talking to the girl that she was a nice girl that's fighting my wife, that fought my wife, this girl Valerie. And she had like an English accent or some kind of accent. So I go, did you always want to try an MMA fight? She goes, I was always, you know, like intrigued by it, interested. You know, she had like an accent. Like I said, she goes, but when I saw this opportunity and this opponent, I couldn't pass it by. So in other words, My wife never had a fight before. This opponent, she wanted, and her coach wanted. They, listen, and this is what I tell my wife. Look, you know, they wanted to beat up Matt Serra's wife. That's what they, yeah. that's what they, well, let's be honest. Why would you want this opponent? She never had a fight sure. before. They wanted to beat up Matt Serra's wife. I put in Ann Serra MMA on YouTube, and it was like an old kickboxing match. And then there was a clip of her latest one, Jimmy. And it ends, Jimmy, it's so cool. Hey, producer, right now for us, could you do that on YouTube or no? Show us that or no?
You see,
oh, that sucks. Jimmy, I'm going to see that. Is he here now?
Yeah.
All right, listen. Forget that. We'll get to that another time. I just want to give her props.
Yeah, it's awesome. She got great hands, and I love the I love a good kick that is not what's the word? Not forecast. You didn't see the kick coming. It was really she looked great.
It wasn't in the forecast. Kick's coming.
No, it wasn't. She didn't telegraph it. She didn't telegraph it.
You know who else didn't telegraph anything?
Temba Grimbo.
Oh, Temba! Let's bring him in.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
How you doing, Temba?
I'm amazing. How are you doing? How are you, Matt Serra? How are you, brother?
So nice to see you, man, and congratulations. How does that feel? How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels good. Just like you did when you knocked out George St. Pierre. But I like George St. Pierre too, so don't get me wrong. I like George St. Pierre. You guys are legends of the sport.
It. Thank you so much. But it does feel like cloud nine. When you win in there, it's the best feeling in the world. And when you win in that fashion, don't get me wrong, sometimes you like to show your skill set, but there's nothing like a nice early night in the office. That was phenomenal. When you landed that shot, obviously you knew he's not getting up. It was the...
when I landed the shot, you know, when I threw the punch and I landed it, I know I hit very hard. People don't know because I always try to grapple guys and I try to wrestle the guys because, you know, that's my background. That's how where I come from, like jiu-jitsu and wrestling. So when I use my striking, guys kind of underestimate me. But when I touch you, every time I land a clean shot on someone, they go down. And when I landed the shot, I knew I was not getting up because I for this fight, there was something more than just fighting behind me.
Yeah, and he did try to get, he tried to scramble, but I mean, you were all over him. And it was a good stoppage. I mean, and it's got to be a few because you're ready to turn around and fight again. I mean, you could probably fight again without the cut. If you didn't have the cut, you could fight next week. You didn't take any damage at all.
Yeah, definitely. I would, but I have to wait for May. They want me to fight in May. I'm really ready now to fight again, but the UFC wants me to fight again in May. I'm kind of bummed, but it is what it is. I'm also going back to my country to do what I need to do there to sort out my some stuff. So it kind of gives me time. It's okay. I'll take what I can get.
What are people saying back home at Zimbabwe about your 32nd victory? What are they saying back home?
They are angry with me. They said we bought data for $30 for you to go out there and knock the guy out in 30 seconds. That's not cool.
Yeah, they're like, at least bring it into the second round, maybe the second.
Yeah, because, you know, it's 1 a.m. when I'm fighting in Zimbabwe. Yeah, so they were angry. So they are happy, but most of them are like, you know, in a sarcastic way, be like, hey, Temba, we bought data for $30. It's so expensive to buy data, and you went in there and finished the fight in 30 seconds. That's not cool. But they are happy.
How long now? You obviously you're from Zimbabwe. Like, how do you? When did you leave there, and did you start training there?
I left Zimbabwe when I was 16, 17, 17, going to South Africa to work as a gardener, as a painter. I did every job that is out there that is the lowest income job that you would find when I was in South Africa, you know. And I've done everything for me to be here through hard work, you know. Like, I would work as a gardener during the day. At night, I'll go and train MMA, you know. And it's actually like when I would work these labor jobs, I took it as a training session so that, you know, I get stronger as a person. I get physically stronger. I get mentally stronger. And it just propelled me to be where I am today. You know, I believe that also God did a lot of work for me and is still doing a lot of work for me to be where I am right now. And I'm blessed, I think.
Do you ever feel like you're in a movie, like you're living your movie with this type of thing?
I do feel like I live in the movie. I feel like my life is predetermined already. I feel like everything that I say always comes true. So it's just kind of like every time I say something with my mouth, it comes true. And like, you know, you have these visions and stuff like that that comes to you in your sleep or something like that. And you just kind of know where you are going. Like, it's scary. If I think of something, it happens straight away. If I think of someone, they will probably call me. If I dream of someone, I wake up, I put my phone on, that's the first person that will be messaging me. So it's just like I know where I'm heading. I know God is working. I know God is someone within me, and he is showing that there is perfection in imperfection, because I'm not a perfect human being. I'm a guy that is sometimes and too many, very emotional, sometimes rational, and but very hardworking. And I feel like maybe my heart is a little bit, you know, open to people as well.
How did The Rock know you had no money?
Oh, what happened is that, you know, on the day of the fight with Takashi Sato, I got sick. I had $87 in my bank account. I bought medicine because I had flu, and I overbought stuff, and I was left with $7 in my bank account. And I screenshot that money because I wanted to go out there and knock out Takashi and win in spectacular fashion and get a bonus. And I wanted to screenshot and show that, guys, I had $7 in the morning. Look at me now. I've got an extra $50,000. And just inspire the world, because I feel like my life is to inspire people and inspire the world. And I won the fight. And then it's going to show the world that, hey, look, I bought the medicine and look where I am right now. And God has blessed me with this beautiful life. And then this win, you know, you can be down and out in the morning, but if you put your mind to something, you can become anything at night. So that's why I posted that, and then ESPN reposted. Then Dwayne Johnson saw that through one of his bodyguards. He saw that and he showed Dwayne Johnson, and he was touched by my story, because I also happened to auction my fight kit straight after that fight to go and do the watch hour in my village. So he was like, oh, this guy, he's down and out, and he, instead of taking the money that he auctioned his stuff and use it for something good, for himself, he's going out there and thinking for others, and I want to help this guy, you know. It's a blessing, and he came in and ruined my life, and look what happened. We are here now.
When you were young, what did you start training in? How young were you when you started your training?
Oh, I was 19 when I started training MMA. Yeah, I started training MMA when I was 19. I watched the movie Never Back Down, and I wanted to go there and train, and I never backed down.
That movie, of all the movies, that's the movie?
Yeah, Never Back Down. I watched that with Djimo Hounsou, who's a Senegalese guy. So yeah, I was inspired by that movie. Then I was like, this is a sport. Fighting is a sport. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not good at playing soccer, so I'm going to go fight.
Yeah, in Zimbabwe, that soccer is the big sport, right? When you're growing up,
yeah, like I was in South Africa then. I was in South Africa. I was in Cape Town.
Oh, by that point, that's right. Why did you leave? Did you just want something different? You just wanted to move on?
Why did I leave Zimbabwe for South Africa?
Yeah.
For better life. Where I come from, it's nothing. South Africa, I think, had the better opportunities. And all my cousins were going to South Africa to look for jobs. So I had to follow suit and go and try to make a living at a very young age. And God came through for me.
Yeah, yeah. And when you start training, how long into it do you realize, like, hey, I'm actually really good at this, and I want to try doing this, and I think I could make a living doing this?
I think I started training in like July or August, and I had my first fight 3 months after I knocked the guy out. Funny enough, it's 7 seconds. So 7 has been my lucky number in my whole life for some reason. Because in high school, I've passed my high school 7 subjects, and now I'm here with 7 subjects, with $7 story. And the first guy I knocked out in my MMA, amateur MMA fight, I knocked him out with 7 seconds. And I was so nervous, I didn't even know. I just went in there, threw a punch, knocked him out. Then I was still like, am I in a fight? I'm like, you know, jumping around. And yeah, so from then I just kept on doing. I had not, I didn't have a very great amateur career because I was working also full-time as a gardener. And so, you know, when you're working, you're not putting in the right amount of work. Right. And if you want to compete, you're going to lose. So I was kind of like a journeyman as an amateur. I was a guy that, you know, until I took it serious, I was like, you know what, I need to make adjustments. I need to work as hard as I can because, you know what, I cannot be working as a security guard forever. This will be misery. And I can change my life through this. So I took it seriously, quit the job, and look at me now. God has come through, right? I'm here talking to Matt Serra.
Hey, man, listen. I couldn't be more happy for you. I mean, this is one day I believe they'll make a movie of your life, and it's still being written. You now in May, I mean, it is good to stay busy because you're uninjured. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's nice to come out.
I wanted to come back sooner. Trust me. If I was not flying out to Zimbabwe right now, I wanted to fight in Miami card in March.
You're flying out today?
I said, I'm flying out tomorrow, so. Okay. But if I was not flying out to Zimbabwe, yeah. I was going to be fighting in Miami. I wanted to keep on training so that I'm stay sharp. And you know, there's a fight there, a waterweight fight between Gilbert Benz and Jake Della Maddalena. Shoot for the stars. If one of them don't show up to the night, I show up and take the show. Oh, that's shooting for the stars.
Well, Temba, look, I mean, it was such a great victory. Really, really happy for you, and look forward to seeing you fight again a few months from now. But it's great to know that you're healthy, and all you got to do is just have a good camp, and I'm sure we'll see you again really soon. But your story is so interesting and inspirational. It was just such a devastating performance. So congratulations, man. It was a great, great fight.
Thank you, brother. Bless you, man. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll definitely see each other soon.
Okay. Safe travels and have a good trip, and we'll see you when you get back.
Thank you. Thank you much, Sarah, too, man.
So great to see you, man. Thank you so much. Congrats.
I am going to become a UFC waterweight champion just like you have been.
Hey, man, I don't doubt you, especially after that performance. All right, congrats, bro. Seriously. All of that.
Thank you, brother.
Have a good one.
That's great. Jimmy, that makes me happy.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice guy. Interesting story.
I like making new friends. Sometimes when young fighters come on, they get excited to see me. Sometimes when comedians come on, they don't give a fuck about me and they get excited to see. Hold on, put your nose a little bit closer. You.
Or when comedian fighters co-host with you.
What? Yeah, Jimmy, you're a comedian slash fighter now.
I hurt my thumb.
What happened, Jimmy?
I was telling Rob at Henzo's, Mike was showing me something with Martin. I was just watching. He was showing me how to swing around, and he swung his foot around, and I was like leaning, and he stepped on my hand because I was too close. And I told Rob that. He goes, "Don't tell anyone else that story."
People, that's not a story you want to. You don't want to talk about that. My wife's thumb hurts a little bit, but then again, that's from punching somebody repeatedly in the head.
By the way, new feature. As we head to a close, I will say this. This is a new feature on Unfiltered. You know what this is? This is the bell of congratulations for Miss Sarah. Do you like that?
No, I appreciate it, where it's coming from, because it's coming from the right spot. But, Jimmy, we're going to end the show now. I'm just saying I'm super proud.
Yeah.
You know, I'm beyond proud, and it was just – you know, young Tommy, too. He did phenomenal. Tommy DeGennaro. Beethoven. He's got a hearing problem. He calls himself Beethoven. That's funny. But he's a great kid. He won. And, you know, me and this Carol Colombo, we cornered 14 fights now, and we're undefeated cornering. It's fucking crazy. It's weird. That alone is weird. Now, Jimmy, that could mean you want to end the show. No. Or you want to congratulate. You're a son of a bitch.
The bell of congratulations.
I think you're mean sometimes.
No, Jimmy, I'm not.
I'm gonna end the show.
Congratulate your wife for me, please. Tell her I'm really happy for it. It's awesome.
Thank you, Jimmy. I will. I'm gonna see you. I'm not seeing you in a couple of days.
No, you're not. This Wednesday, I'm gonna be out, but I'm back next week. And this is the bell of safe travels.
Can I say this before? I'm away, I'm gonna be traveling to Florida with the family soon. And when I do, I'll be still doing the show. Ain't that great? I'll just bring it with me.
Yes.
So I don't even have to mention it, but I'll have a different background. Different background. I'll be on like the terrace.
Enjoying yourself.
Yeah, Jimmy. Listen, man. I'll talk to you by next week. Have fun on your travels.
Nice, man. Yeah, a lot of work. And I did the fighter and the kid today. That comes out tomorrow. Those guys were great. And they both they love you. Brian and Brendan both said really nice things about you too. Oh, so
I like those guys. All right, man. Jimmy, you're the best.
Hey, thank you guys for working with me on the time today. I appreciate everyone behind the scenes. Thank you guys very much, Matt. I'll talk to you soon.
And Jimmy, really quick, Randy Brown, you could not get a cleaner right hand. It was
good for Randy. Yes,
phenomenal. It was a phenomenal fucking jab right hand. There might be some as clean, but nothing cleaner. That was beautiful for Randy.
It was beautiful. I'm happy
for him. We'll talk more about the fights next on the next episode. Me and I believe Phoenix. So
okay, have fun.
Later, Jimmy.
Hey, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.